My name is Alan Morse, and today we're going to have a teaching, and it's going to be dealing with sin. We're going to be a part one of part two teaching, because it's just too much to get in one part. We're going to be dealing with how God deals with us with the human beings from Genesis clear up to now, because He deals with us differently. But in a lot of ways, it's the same. But you need to get your pencils and papers out, because we're going to be having an opportunity to do a lot of writing on this one, and I think it'll be well worth your time. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 2. Of course, we're going to be dealing with Adam and Eve. We'll start right off. And we're dealing with sin and what God does about it. So, the first sin that was ever committed was obviously during the Garden of Eden. So, Genesis chapter 2, verses 15. It says, "And the Lord God took man and put him into the gardens of Eden to till it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely. But of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil thou shalt not eat it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." So we see that it was a totally different than it is today. There was no sin whatsoever. Adam and Eve weren't born with a sin nature. They walked with God each and every day. They walked with the Lord God. You see, that's the Son of God. You see, the God the Father is too powerful. He can't communicate with us in that way. So He used His Son, which was called the Lord God. And that was the God the Son. And He walked with Him. And He was able to do that because they were sin-free. And He told them they can have everything here. There's nothing that they don't have to do, but except they can't eat that fruit from that garden or from the tree of good and evil. So let's look at verse chapter 3 and see what happens. Chapter 3, and let's look at verses 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." Now we're going to show you what the first lie that was ever spoken on this earth. "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God knoweth that in the day that thou eat thereof, when your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing in good and evil." And you know, we realize that she did eat of it. And when she ate of it, she gave a part of it to her husband, Adam. And they all of a sudden realized they were naked. They never knew that before. And so they went to go hide themselves. And then they went and got fig leaves to cover themselves. And then God went to see them. We'll find out. And they were hidden. They were hiding. And when they were hiding, God finally they answered God. And they said, "Well, why are you hiding?" He said, "Well, we were naked." And He asked them, "How do you know you're naked?" Of course, He knew that they sinned and they ate of the fruit. Write in your margins on your paper, 4000 BC. This is when the historians believe this is when happened. This has happened when Genesis was 4000 BC. Well, obviously, what happened was they were cast out of the Garden of Eden. And when they were cast out of the Garden of Eden, and then down the road a ways, all of a sudden Cain and Abel came into effect. I'm going to go back just a little bit. We know that God had to kill an animal. And He had to skin that animal and take the skins and use that for the covering of Adam and Eve. And obviously, it wasn't just for a covering. It also was a precedence, what was going to follow. That some animal had to die in order to cover their sin. You see. And from then on, God required a sin offering, and it had to be an animal, a death of an animal, to do it, a blood offering. And when Cain and Abel came in on the scene, God told them that they were to bring a sin offering, and it had to be of an animal. It had to be a perfect animal, and it had to die, because that's how horrible sin was. Sin was horrible, and he thought if they did that, it would reduce the sin in their life. Well, we find that Abel did do that. He was a sheep farmer, and he had sheep, and he brought one, and God accepted it. But Cain was a grain farmer, and he didn't want to buy no sheep from Abel, so he just brought his best grain he had, and he thought, well, that ought to do it, and that'll compromise, but that ought to do it. But, of course, God wouldn't accept it. You see, that's the way it is today. People compromise. When God tells you to do something, you've got to do it, you see. When our salvation is based on the gospel, which Paul preached, and you go believe do it something another way, that's a compromise, and God won't have it. God won't have it. Our salvation is based on believing that Christ died for our sin, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. That's the gospel, and that's salvation for the church. Any other way, God will reject, just like he rejected this offering of Cain. That for 1,600 years, sin reigned, and it kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And we find that in 2400 B.C. is when Noah started. And so let's turn to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. And let's look at verses 4. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5, excuse me. And said, and this is what happened just after 1,600 years. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. You see, God, everybody turned their back from the sacrifices. They turned their back from God. It was a total, and the only person that they could find was Noah. Noah was the only righteous person on this earth. Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. And they were the only people, and they were probably still having the sin offerings. And when God told them to build an ark, they built an ark. When God tells you to do something, you do it. And it took him 100 years to build that ark. You see, he proved his righteousness because he believed God, and he proved it by building that ark. And, of course, he had sacrifices on that ark. So when the ark landed after the flood, they had sacrifices to God. And then after that, 200 years later, people turned right back like they did back in the time before the flood. And it was just they turned totally away from God, and they decided to build a tower called the Tower of Babel. And that was in 2200 B.C., 2200 B.C., before Christ, years before Christ. And look at what it said in Genesis chapter 11. In Genesis chapter 11, let's look at verses 7. And then God said, well, let us come down there and confound their languages, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from the earth, from upon the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city. And totally, these people were totally idolaters. And in fact, all the false religions of the Middle East, of the eastern part of the United States or the world, all those religions were all false religions. They all came from this Tower of Babel. And 2 years after that, we see the calling of Abraham. The calling of Abraham. And that's in Genesis. Chapter 12, and that was 200 years afterwards. This is the year 2000 B.C. It was when Abraham was called, and that's in chapter 12. Now, Abraham was an idolater. His family were idolaters. They were all that way. But God decided he was going to call him. He knew his heart, and he was going to bring him out of idolatry, and he was going to tell him that if he would do what he told him to do, he would make a great nation of him. And look what he says. This is really neat. And this is where God decided to choose a person, a people, that would be his own people, and that they would look to him, and he would be their God. This is what his plan was. All the rest of the world has turned their back on God, but Abraham was the starting of this new group of people, and they eventually would be called Israel. They would be Jews, and they would be his people, and he would be their God. And we start off in chapter 12, and it says, "Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred," this is chapter 12, verses 1, "and thy father's house, unto the land where I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." This was a total change. He was going to produce a godly group of people. And Abraham believed God, and he was counted for righteousness. You see, he believed God, and he started sacrificing. In fact, we know that down the road, at 100 years old, he had Isaac, and God asked him to sacrifice his own son. And he would have done it, too, because God told him to, but God stopped it before he did, but he was going to do it. There was no doubt about that. He believed God. He believed God, and he was counted righteous for that. And he also had the sacrifices. We know that he had his son Isaac, and we know that Isaac had his son was Jacob, and Jacob was the father of 12 sons. And those 12 sons, all their names were the 12 names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And see, this nation was starting to grow to be this nation that that God had gave him, told him it was going to be. And we find that down the road, they had a real bad drought, and they couldn't get food. And remember, he took his Jacob and his sons ended up down in Egypt where Joseph was, and where they were there for 430 years they were in Egypt, and they grew to be a huge nation, several million people. And they were Abraham's seed. They were all Abraham's seed. And after about 500 years, in about 1500 B.C., we find that Moses came on the scene. And Moses believed God. God told him that he was to go down there, and he was to get these people out of Egypt. And so he went down there, and he dealt with the Pharaoh time and time and time again. And finally they let him go, and they headed out of there, huge amount of people, several million people. And they were going, and they were heading to the Red Sea. And they got to the edge of the Red Sea, and they looked up, and all of a sudden they saw this huge Egyptian army coming after him. He had a change of mind, that Pharaoh did. He was going to come down and do them harm, no doubt whatsoever. And we find that this is started around 1500 B.C., 1500 years before Christ. And they were at the Red Sea. And what did God tell them to do? They told them to just stand still, do nothing. He said, "And you're going to see me work." And all of a sudden, that huge sea just opened up. And I mean, clear across it, and it was dry land. And those children of Israel walked right through the wet Red Sea, and towering water on both sides. Who knows how deep it was? But anyway, they were walked right through that. And when they got through, the Egyptian army come following behind, and we find that that when they got about most of the way through, God let it all go come together, and they drowned the whole army. And he did it, and God did that. See, and these Israelites, they believed God, and when they stood still and didn't do a thing, God did it all. And that's what he wants us to do now. He wants to do it all for us. He didn't want us doing anything. He just wants to do it all, and that's what the grace of God's all about. But anyhow, he used that grace with these people, and he saved them. Well, during this time, we see that Israel came after they got through the Red Sea. They got into the desert and the high country, and lots of things happened. They had the Ten Commandments came with them, and it showed them, it was supposed to point them a closer walk with the Lord. And they had the Ark of the Covenant. And then they got to a situation where they were just about ready to cross the Jordan River to go into Canaan. And God said, this was at Kadesh Barnea, and he said, told them that, listen, all you have to do now is go and occupy this land. And he said, I myself, God said, I will drive them all out. Everybody out of there. You won't have to lift a sword. You just go in and occupy. These people have been here for over 400 years, and they've got everything perfect. They've got cities, they've got homes, they've got vineyards, they've got farms, they got everything. And all you're going to have to do is just occupy. Well, the 12 tribes of Israel said, oh, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. You know, I hear they've got wall cities, and they've got giants, and they got tons of people there. If we go in there, I know we're going to lose half our children, our young men. They're all going to die in doing this. And good Lord was very upset. And then he said, well, let's just send in some spies. So they went and sent a person from each tribe of Israel. 12 men went in, and they spied it out. And they came back, and 10 out of the 12, Joshua and Caleb was the only ones that said, let's go. Let's do exactly what God wanted us to do. He's with us. We have no problem. And the rest of them, they just cried and moaned and groaned, and they just wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. And God got so mad at them, he just sent them out in the desert for 40 years till they all died. You see, if you don't believe God, you don't obey God, you're going to suffer the consequences. And those people went out and they died in the wilderness in 40 years. None of them made it to the promised land. Every one of them died. And Joshua and Caleb and their families, of course, didn't die because they wanted to do it. And God, they moved in there, but they had to fight their way all the way through it. And it was because people didn't obey God. And when you don't obey God, you suffer the consequences. You suffer the consequences. And then we turn and we see 500 years from Moses, we see David, and we see Solomon. And of course, David was he was one that fought through this whole time. I mean, he was a warrior, a tremendous warrior. And he fought through the whole time, and God wouldn't allow him to build the temple because he had too much blood on his hands. And so his son, Solomon, is the one that built the temple. And that was in about 1,000 years before Jesus walked on this earth. 1,000 years. And a lot took place during that time. But Solomon built this temple, and it was probably one of the greatest temples that was ever built. And his kingdom was one of the greatest that it ever was. And we find that when he died, his son took over, and their sons, and pretty soon these people turned their back totally on God. It's hard to even comprehend. They totally turned their back on God. And then in 600 years before Christ, we find that Nebuchadnezzar, he's from Iraq, that area there, Babylon. And they were a great nation, and they came and they destroyed Jerusalem. They destroyed the temple, totally destroyed the temple. And they kept captive of millions of Jews. And they took those Jews down, and probably a million of them died too. I don't know. But they had a huge amount of them. They took down in captivity down to Babylon. And while they were in Babylon, wasn't very many years after that, King Cyrus of Persia, they came down, the Medes and the Persians, and they whipped Nebuchadnezzar. And they just literally took over. And when they took over, they had all these Jews. And they were kind to them. And Nehemiah asked them if they could go back to Jerusalem and build their walls and build their temple again. And he allowed that to happen. And they got permission to rebuild those walls. And you know, out of all those thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, maybe several million, I don't know, only 42,000 Jews, only 42 of them, 42,000 came back to build the walls and build the temple. And where the rest of them went? Well, they were scattered all over the known world. All over the known world. And we always think about the Jews, they were all in Jerusalem. No, they weren't. You know, when he went into Turkey, they went to cities there and they all had synagogues. The synagogues just weren't in Israel. They had synagogues there. These are these Jews that were dispersed from Nebuchadnezzar, allowed them to come home. And they didn't go home. They went to other cities. And when he went to Greece, there were synagogues there. And when he went to Rome, there were synagogues there. They were all over the known world. We know they were in Egypt. We know they were in northern Africa. And so the Jews were scattered all over the known world at that time. And so we're coming close to when Jesus himself comes walking in on this earth. And this was really something. God looked down on this earth, and he looked down at his people, and these people, a large percentage of these people, had totally turned their back on God. And sin was always a problem. And they didn't continue to sacrifice. Lots of them didn't. But now they're back at it again. They're built their temple, and they're back at sacrifices. Everything's going just like it was back in Solomon's days. They had their temple, and they were sacrificing, and they had their religion. Jews is a religion. It's a works-related religion, and they were going at it pretty hard when Jesus came on this earth. Well, what happened was God decided that they were going to do away with the sin problem forever. And the blood of bulls and goats weren't going to do it. They weren't going to do it. And he was going to come. And so what happened was the triune God decided that the Son himself, the Son of God himself, would come down and take on a human body. He had to take a human body in order to pay the price. He was going to be the final sacrifice for sin. And so he was born of a virgin. He was born of a virgin. And he had to be born of a virgin. Because, you see, he couldn't have been born a man. Because if he was born a man, he would have had a sin nature. And he couldn't be the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice. See, he had to be perfect. And so he was born of God, and thus he had no sin nature, and he was perfect when he walked on this earth. He was totally perfect when he walked on this earth. And we're going to see what happened to him, and we're going to see what happened, but how God dealt with sin afterwards, and it's really starting to get tremendously interesting. And so what we're going to do is we're going to stop here. And we'll have a prayer, and then we're going to pick up again in part two. Father, we just praise you and thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ, who now has come back to take care of us, the sin nature problem. And I just praise you for him, for what he has done for us, because without him, we would never have a chance. With no way could ever go to heaven. Right? We know that because he's going to pay for the sin debt for every person in this world. And all we got to do is believe it. How wonderful, Lord. How wonderful. And I just pray that people's minds would open up and understand the wonderfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ for what he did for us. We pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.